And welcome, friends, to this, the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. Our podcast is coming to you live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland, in the Mid-Atlantic, still covered with snow, like so many of our listeners as well. And we are thrilled to be with you on this Friday as we continue to develop our theme throughout this week, which is the two kingdoms at war, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. And we've had some wonderful themes this week on our podcast today. I don't think we'll be any different as we talk about what it means to learn how to depend upon God completely or to take control over our own lives. So we're asking God to bless our broadcast today, and we want to thank those of you that are tuning in and listening and remind you, of course, that you can participate in the broadcast. The comment section is available to those of you tuning in and joining us on today's Friday podcast. If you have comments, share those comments with us. If you have questions, fire away. My name is Pastor John Love, and joining me in the studio today is Pastor Shibeli. We will be your hosts for this Friday podcast of the Grace Hour. And before we get started, Pastor Shibeli, dependence upon God, what does it mean? Well, I think it's actively trusting His will over our own personal plans. Perhaps it includes, I'm sure it includes, praying without ceasing, relying on His strength during struggles that otherwise we might rely upon our own self-sufficiency. I guess it involves viewing life from the standpoint of faith, viewing God as our provider, surrendering our control over our decisions, giving them to God, decisions, finances, outcomes, all of it. The verse that comes to my mind when I think about this theme and subject is Jeremiah 10:23, where the Word of God says, "I know, O Lord, it is not in man to direct his own steps," which is the prophet's way of saying that the most misdirected life is a self-directed life. Dependence upon God, that means everything to the believer.
I love that. There used to be a song, "Trust and Obey, There's No Other Way." Trust in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with how much? All of your heart. Not partial, not a piece, not 90%, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And then lean not to your own understanding. And that's one of the biggest problems that we can see in Christianity today in all of our lives at some point, leaning to our own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. This is so key. You know, I want my paths to be directed. And I was thinking about Acts chapter 1 today, and starting in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them, this is Jesus commanding them, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. There's a key word, isn't it? Wait for the promise of the Father, you have heard of me, what He said. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And when they were together, when they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" He just ended up telling them, wait for the promise. And they're looking for something to happen like right now. Right at this time, will you restore the kingdom of heaven? And then I like what He says here. And this is really good for all of us in our personal walks with God. He said unto them, "It is not for you to know." Boy, that really hurts people. It's not for you to know. I got to know everything, right? It's not for you to know the seasons which the Father has put in His own power, but you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit. Okay? And this is so key. You shall receive power from the Holy Spirit when He comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in all Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the world. After He spoke on these things, He disappeared. Okay? He was up in a cloud, left, and was gone. So it's not for you to know. Like, that's a tough one for many Christians today and churches. It's not for you to know. I don't know. Do I know what's going to happen tomorrow? Do I know what's going to happen today? I mean, it's morning still.
We don't even know what's going to happen during the broadcast.
We don't even know what's going to happen during the broadcast. That's exactly right. So it's not for you to know. So it's really having a dependence upon God and how key that is for us. And so this is how the book of Acts begins. Like, in other words, I'm leaving, the Holy Spirit's coming, and you're going to bring this message into all the world. Okay? Wait a minute. Like, aren't you going to stay and, like, you know, you're the key. You're central in this, all of this. You've given the promise. You've got the witness. Aren't you going to stay and help us out? No. I'll catch you later. Okay? In other words, I certainly will be aware of what's going on and be there. And understanding that in that principle, but it's not for you to know. It's not for you to know. And that puts a Christianity in a very interesting place of trust.
Damn.
I've got to trust God, you know. I don't know. I don't exactly know. Like you said, we don't know what will take place during the course of the program, you know. We have no idea what will go on. We have no idea whether we'll get another foot of snow on Saturday. I'm hoping not, but who am I? Anyway, you know, but it's not for you to know. And this is really so key. If I can just gear my life to that principle, that I don't have to know everything, you know. And that's what happens in some kind of organized Christianity, where they got to know everything. They got to know everything that's going on, everything's going to happen, what's taking place, you know, what's the government doing. It's not for you to know. So,
I like that. You know, depending upon God is basic to the Christian life. Think about it.
Yeah.
How do we get saved? Well, we trusted and depended completely upon God for our salvation.
Exactly.
And I think that God is almost saying, in much the same way that you had to trust completely upon me to save you, now you have to learn how to trust me completely for wisdom in James chapter 1, verse 5. For everything in Psalm 104, verse 27. And as you mentioned in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, in everything. I mean, the psalmist, I guess you could say he teaches how to rely upon the Lord with a threefold description of who God is. In Psalm 18, verse 2, he said, "The Lord is my rock, the Lord is my fortress, the Lord is my deliverer." That sounds like God is enough to carry us through our lives.
Totally.
If we can simply learn how to depend upon him.
That's a learning process, too.
It is. Yeah? It is.
It's great, too, because, you know, it's so easy. It's so easy to depend upon yourself. And don't you think that's what the enemy and darkness would like us to do? Just become self-dependent.
Yes.
That, like, this is on you. Really? Did you die for the sins of the world?
No.
Are you the one that's going to be sending the Holy Spirit? No. So dependence upon God. And so going out without – maybe people are so used to formulas – organization and those kind of things. I'm not saying that we're against them, but is there any dependence upon God? They went out in Genesis chapter 12. He went out. He didn't even know where he was going, right? "Get thee out of thy country, away from thy kindred and from your father's house, and I'm going to show you a land." Like, could you explain to me where it is? What's going on? Mm-hmm. What's going to take place? Who's going with me? How am I going to make it? No, just go.
Yeah. And, you know, depending upon God this way, some people might conclude from the outside looking in and say, that's foolishness, you know. But remember, Jesus didn't have to prove anything to the devil when the devil said, "Listen, if you're really God, cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple." He didn't have to do that. Trusting God doesn't mean that you have to put God to the test.
Exactly.
It just means that you're learning how to trust God for your life. And, you know, we depend upon God all the time, which is a good discipline to develop in our lives. But there's also times when we can't do anything else, you know? And God will give us the faith during those times when we don't know what to do. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They couldn't sway the will of the king, Nebuchadnezzar. They couldn't lessen the intensity of the burning fiery furnace. But the only thing they did know is that they cannot bow down to a false god. So they were thrown into that fire, depending completely upon God. alone, him alone for the outcome. And God came through, just like he always does.
Acts 16, same thing, right? Like you're locked in a prison and all of a sudden there's an earthquake.
Yeah.
You know, and you're free. And the jailer bows down and says he wants to get saved, you know. So it's a dependence upon God. And yet man has become, because of systems that he has developed, he's become so dependent upon himself and his own ability to perform. And because we are so sophisticated and advanced in our learning and knowledge and have so much and know so much, like you put God on the back burner. And then you just say, in Jesus' name, at the end of doing something, you know.
Yeah.
You just say, well, we're gonna go out and do this in Jesus' name, you know.
Yeah.
And whether it's in his name, his nature and character, I don't know. Yeah. But I think a dependence upon God is something that young people, children, teenagers need to learn. It's not something, and you're not saying that you can't learn it when you're older. Of course you can. But I'm saying, like, really developing a dependence upon God in young people.
Yeah. I think that that's crucial. You know, some people would say, well, is this really such an important issue? You're highlighting it today on the podcast. But listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Listen to what God says. And it is God, because it starts out by saying, thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. I mean, that is just incredible when you stop and think about it. We're not talking about, you know, is it a good idea to trust God rather than to trust yourself or to trust in the arm of the flesh? No, you're inviting a curse into your life when that happens. And it goes on to say in verse 6 of Jeremiah 17, that person will be like a heath in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land not inhabited. But on the contrary, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And why? He tells us the answer to this question. Why do we need to trust in God? Verse 9 says, because our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can begin to understand the depths of that kind of depravity? So we're talking about inviting a curse into our lives when we trust in ourselves, or we trust in the flesh, or we trust in mankind. Some practical ways, Pastor Shibeli, in order to see this dependence developed in our lives: honor the Word of God. Just follow its principles and precepts. Check every decision against the truth of the Word. Become like the noble Bereans in Acts chapter 17. And whenever there's a conflict between what the Bible says or what anyone else says, go with the Bible. Go with the Bible. Do what the psalmist said, Psalm 85, verse 8. I will listen to what the Lord says. You cannot go wrong.
Where's my ear? There's a question, too, you know. We get into a crisis or a trial, and there are people that are willing to give us advice, and they mean well, but it might not be from God's thoughts, God's plan, God's purpose. So dependence upon God. And you see this all through the scriptures. I mean, the scriptures teach us all the way from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation, about dependence upon God. And that is so key. And that's the easiest thing for a person to maybe walk away from. It's very easy to do that, because in such a sophisticated world that we live in today, it's easy to depend upon man. I mean, he could put somebody on the moon. He can put a spaceship to Mars. He can walk on the moon. Look at what man can do. He can go to the depths of the ocean. And we begin to deify man and humanize God.
Yeah.
And there's a problem. So when you do that, you don't need to be dependent. Why does man need to be dependent upon God when man knows that he and thinks he can do so much?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to bring up an illustration that some of our listeners might be able to relate to. It was the movie years ago called The Karate Kid. Young boy, Danielson was his name, and his karate teacher was Mr. Miyagi, and he taught him how the art of karate, And he used these simple principles, and it was like waxing his car. He said, you know, old wax off, new wax on. Well, we could say it this way. Old man off, new man on.
Mm-hmm.
Old man off, new man on. A simple principle to remind us that this is a process that takes place in the life of the believer, where we learn how to depend upon God. And of course, young Danielson would learn how to become like a karate expert,
yeah,
because he allowed these disciplines to be brought into his life.
I mean, you can't mix the old with the new?
No.
The old man with the new man?
No,
really?
It doesn't work.
Because I think the old man was crucified, Romans 6:6, right?
Absolutely.
It's kind of hard to mix a dead person with a living person, you know?
That's good.
It doesn't really go so well.
So yeah, we honor the Bible, and we always do what we know is what God leads us to do, which is always the right thing. Daniel did the right thing in the book of Daniel when he defied the king,
yeah,
and said, I'm going to pray to God three times a day in Daniel chapter 6.
Yep.
David did the right thing by standing up to Goliath. And in each case, and in so many more cases and illustrations we could give, God rewarded that kind of dependence.
I mean, the walls are going to fall down. Really? Just go. Can you imagine you were there and you're circling this city for how many days?
Six days.
6 days you're circling.
It doesn't make seven, actually, right?
Yeah. Round and round and round. And like, what's going on? Like, isn't there an easier way? Can it take place some other way? No.
That sounds to me like utter foolishness. But it's the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God in the eyes of the world is absolute foolishness. We say honor God, honor his word, do what's right in the eyes of God. We say learn what it means to be a living sacrifice in Romans chapter 12, verses 1. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? It means that our lives are dedicated to God. When you become a living sacrifice, you learn how to live for the Lord. You cease fighting for your own rights. You give up trusting in your own strength. You learn to become a living sacrifice, which sounds so strange because obviously most sacrifices are dead. But we are called upon by God to become a living sacrifice. And becoming a living sacrifice leads us to this place where you can say, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, when I am weak, that is when I'm strong. That's incredible. What a contradiction of terms. And yet, this is what God promises us. So, am I going to invite a curse into my life as I keep depending upon myself? We hear people use terms like, when they see a successful person, they say, well, that's a self-made man. Oh, I mean, they may look good in terms of the eyes of this world. They might even be successful as the world measures success. But what about from divine viewpoint? Sometimes God measures success when he looks at someone who is weak, frail, struggling, but they're choosing to place their confidence in him, choosing not to depend upon their flesh, but to depend completely, entirely upon God. I think this is all about learning what it means, as Jesus taught in John chapter 15, to abide in him. I mean, think about what he said. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You can ask what you will, it will be done for you. Your joy will be full. The fruit in your life will be ongoing. Because he did say in that 15th chapter of John's gospel, verse 5, listen to what he said. Without me, you can do nothing.
Oh.
I mean, you think about that. People in this world, unbelievers, say, I don't need God. I can do anything. I can do everything without God. That stands in stark contradiction to what Jesus said. Without me, you can do nothing.
In 1985, I had two verses, and it was when God really spoke and called me to Africa. And using the ministry and a pastor, Pastor Stevens, and just a local pastor in the church in Springfield, he gave me two verses. Without me, you can do nothing. And the second verse was, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So without God, you're going to do nothing over there. But with him, you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. And those are the two verses that were the key to that 1986 to 1993 beginning there, 7 years in West Africa. And it was all based upon, this is what God has spoken. This is what God has said, depending upon him. You're not going to do anything over there. I mean, I went there. I didn't even know that you had to have a visa. I mean, somebody, I figured that out when I got there. They said to me, by the way, you know, you could only stay so long. You have to have a visa. I said, really? I said, I got a visa. They said, you have a 1 month tourist visa. And so I had to go through that whole scene for like a good year of going back and forth with this visa situation, but depending upon God to make that happen. And so this is so key. And it can be in very simple little things. I don't want to have children in this day and age. Well, how about depending upon God?
Amen.
I hear some people say that. Who wants to bring up children in this world? Depend upon God, you know? Who wants to do this? Who wants to do that? Dependence upon God.
Yeah, it really comes right down to that. We've got some great responses today. Stephen Wells writes in, he says, I remember my dad always teaching on the noble Bereans, always listening with scripture to open to test everything that they heard. Daniel writes, Pastor Schibelli, happy to see you back. Maciek in Poland says, we love you in the ministry there. Arbor, our friend from Albania, now in Nashville, Tennessee, says, give my greetings to Pastor Schibelli and others. Great to know that so many of you are tuning into the podcast and listening in. You know, the other wonderful thing about developing this kind of dependence upon God, Pastor Schibelli, is that we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live with anxiety.
Right.
We don't have to be dominated by worry. Why? Because God cares for his children. Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, he says, if I can take care of the daily needs of birds and clothe the flowers of the field, I got you. I can take care of you. No need to live in worry.
I like how he says a number of times, and it was really not a chastisement or a discipline kind of a thing, but it was just an encouraging thing. Oh, you of little faith. Oh, how, and I like how it reads in the Greek language. Oh, how little faith you have in me. And it came at a time in Matthew 6 when there was fear, okay? All right, I'm sorry, anxiety. Then in Matthew 8, it was fear, O you of little faith, okay? Then you see it again in Matthew 14 when it came to doubt, O you of little faith. Matthew 16, human reason, O ye of little faith. And really, just depend upon me. Don't live in this anxiety. Don't live in this fear. Don't live in this this doubt and human reason. Just simply trust me. Oh, how little faith you have in me. And really, that's really depending upon God, right? Because without faith, what does it say in the Bible? I know you know this.
It's impossible to please him.
It's not possible at all?
Impossible
to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. So there's quite a thing. So if I'm living by faith, God is pleased. If I'm living based upon my own situation and how I discern the circumstances and the decisions I make, natural decisions, human viewpoint, then God is not pleased, you know? And so I wonder today how, and I know how important it is for us to be pleasing to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if I'm not living by faith, I'm not pleasing to God. If I'm not pleasing to God, I'm just pleasing myself.
Quite possibly.
Pleasing the world system.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasing my old sin nature. Pleasing the enemy.
Yeah.
Who am I pleasing? You know.
I mean, by faith, God saved us through his grace.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we took a step into basic training, didn't we?
Yes.
And that basic training continues even to this day. But that training in our lives, the training, the work of the Holy Spirit, the process of sanctification, that training builds trust in our lives. And God-reliance takes daily training in our lives. Then God-reliance grows what? Confidence in our lives. It brings courage, it brings change, and a deep-rooted peace that allows us to navigate our way through the storm waters of life. And then prayer. Well, prayer helps to shift focus. Honest, genuine, simple prayer helps us to move from self-focus to God-focus in our lives. And that life of faith is, boy, is it, it's an ongoing basic training, isn't it, in our lives?
Think about when the ministry had to move out of New England and all of a sudden just come to Baltimore. And what was what was there in Baltimore? I mean, like, where do you begin? You start renting places to use on a Sunday or a Wednesday, and different place to different place, and just depending upon God, that God is sending us to Baltimore. And that from Baltimore, it's interesting because when we were in New England, we were in 27 countries at that particular time. That since the move to Baltimore, it's over almost 100 countries now, you know. So God brought it up quite a bit, over 70 countries, and that was a great move of faith, a move of faith. And people had to do some incredible things, like leaving your job, leaving your home, getting a new job, finding a new place to live, and just the movement. That's a faith movement, unheard of today. But you can see that down through the history of Christianity, where people just simply lived by faith. And they went by faith. They went out by faith. They did mission work by faith. And on it goes. And I was thinking about, I'll talk about this tonight in Bible school, the journeys of Paul. And, you know, His first missionary journey, his first journey, which he met the Lord and got saved, Acts 9, but then missionary journey, first journey, Acts 13, Acts 16, Acts 19, and Acts 27. And he just, his life just kept going on and on and on. And that all has to do with faith. You're not taking these journeys. Apostle Paul is not taking these journeys without having a real dependence upon God.
Yeah. And of course, the other option is what? Self-reliance.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we're not always aware of our self-reliance or the problems that self-reliance causes in our lives. Mm. Because for a lot of even Christians, self-reliance is like breathing, right?
Yeah.
Just something that comes, we do without thinking about it.
Don't even think about it.
We don't wake up in the morning and say,
I think I'll breathe today.
I think I have to start breathing. It just comes so naturally, right?
Yes.
But, you know, those of us that might even be religious, we may think that we rely upon God because we read a couple of passages in the Bible or we go to church.
Yeah.
But we don't really trust, you know, God in a deep way, the way God is trying to train and teach us. So I would say the first step in training ourselves to be godly is to maybe identify some of the areas that we're self-reliant in,
mm-hmm,
right?
Because
sometimes we just think, well, yes, I need God, but only to do the impossible things in my life.
Yeah.
We need God for everything in our lives. Again, when we're not trusting Him for our lives completely, we may, without even realizing it, invite that curse into our lives.
Yeah, you're driving along in the snow and you're doing well, and all of a sudden the car starts to spin and sway and go in different directions. God help, you know? Like, how about God just helping, like in normal driving and the everyday things that we do, you know? It's only when maybe something unique takes place or something changes or something goes on, and all of a sudden, like, you know, I just found out from the doctor, I've got this problem or I've got that problem, and all of a sudden, like, I really need to trust God, you know?
Yeah.
How about trusting God on a daily basis, moment by moment, for your health, for what's taking place in your life every single day, instead of relying upon self.
Wow. I think sometimes you could look at self-reliance as somewhat of a drug. Mm-hmm. It promises quick relief. Like, in other words,
yeah,
I don't have the time to wait upon God, look to God, pray to God, read my Bible.
Yep.
I'll do it myself. But that can have serious side effects that cause affliction sometimes in our lives, like pain and suffering. I just want us to consider some of the things that potentially could happen if we operate in self-reliance. Number one, we could become unfaithful.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, our hearts could so easily stray away from God and from others because we're just ultimately relying upon ourselves. We could become underdeveloped. We might not grow in our faith. I think self-reliance, again, brings us to a place where we think we can be successful. We think we're doing the right thing, but it can lead us astray and find ourselves, before we know it, over our heads.
Long
we
source.
Can become unbelieving. We don't see good things happening even when they are. We can become unfruitful. Our lives can become barren and empty. No matter how hard we keep trying in our self-reliance, it just doesn't work. And it can lead us to a place where we're uninspired. We're like a desert wasteland. What a shame.
Think about it. Like, I'm at the Red Sea. Behind me is an Egyptian army. to my right and to my left are impassable mountains. And in front of me is the Red Sea, and we don't swim. We're not what you would call like these amazing swimmers. You know, I don't know whether they had the ability to swim at all. Maybe some did. And then stand still. This is reliance upon God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the enemy that you see today, you're never going to see them again. Imagine that promise. You're never going to see them again. So, but stand still. That's the hardest thing for us to do. In the midst of a crisis, stand still and wait on God. Simply wait on God. Because when I enter into activity, I'm not standing still. And then God, you know, he says, well, you got to believe a priesthood. Go ahead. If that's what you want to do, you know. And then the results are yours, you know. What ends up taking place, instead of standing still, see the salvation of God. I remember a number of instances that happened in Africa missions where it was very clear to stand still. There was a lot of people that gave a lot of advice, natural human advice about what should be done and what you should do. And God would just say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so maybe the advice they were given was well-founded to them, and maybe their intention was to help, but it wasn't God's mind. It wasn't God's thoughts. And there's the problem. I need to stand still and see God's salvation, what God is going to do, you know, how God is going to multiply. What do you mean? Where are we going to get bread to feed all these thousands of people, you know, 6,000 people, 4,000 people, you know? Well, stand still.
Yeah.
Just be quiet and just trust God. The one who said he was going to feed him is the one that can do it. And there was the multiplication. So the baskets full of bread were left over.
12.
12 baskets.
One for each of the doubting apostles.
Right.
Right?
My goodness, yeah, that's true. One for each, you know. And but just stand still and watch God. Trust God.
Yeah.
Trusting God. And that could be, it could be these really simple things that take place in life, you know. Trust God that the snow is going to go away. I think so, you know. I think eventually it's going to disappear.
June.
It may take some time. Do you remember like in New England, we would get some snowstorms that would still be there in April, and you'd still be like fighting banks and banks of snow that would be like, I remember one time the snow was up to the first story window, you know, in drifts.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, how are we ever getting out of this, you know?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you know, spring came.
Wow. Praise God. You know, I just make a simple confession here. You know, there was a time years ago when I would always be concerned and I think even anxious about my, you know, my finances, you know, how am I going to be provided for? I'm going to live a life of faith, but how is God going to provide? Yeah. And I really struggled with that for a long time. And you know what really helped me a lot? I looked at Pastor Schaller's life. I looked at his life of faith. I looked at his example of faith and how he trusted God. And I saw a man who was just so occupied with what God wanted from his life and how God was leading him and directing his path. And I saw someone who wasn't thinking about finances. He wasn't occupied with that. And I thought to myself, God, if you can do that with him, you can do that with me.
Yes.
And I remember abandoning that whole idea of worrying and becoming anxious about money, and knew just by watching another believer's example of faith that I could trust God in that era of my life. And you mentioned earlier about Jericho. Can you imagine maybe day three when they're walking around those walls? One of those guys must be saying, you know what? I was thinking about it all night long. I have a way that we can scale these walls. I got a plan.
Yeah.
I'm going to share it with Joshua. He's going to like it. And we're going to finally stop walking around these walls and you're going to attack.
Go right over.
But no, it wasn't depending upon God.
Right.
You got to do it God's way. It might seem like it's foolish, but when you learn to trust God like that, he always comes through.
And maybe other believers will not even understand it or get it at all. I mean, it's because God is speaking to you about trusting God. It doesn't mean I have some kind of arrogant, independent spirit, but God has spoken to me. And I've had so many people tell me, bringing your children to Africa? Are you crazy? Do you know the kind of diseases that are over there? I'm sure that you had the same thing, Sebastian, right? I mean, what? You're going where? Do you know what's going on there? Do you know anything about the revolutions, tribal warfares, malaria, typhoid fever, one thing after another? And where's the money going to come from, and how, where are you going to live? And I remember us, when we first went, we went to a hotel in Community 9 in Tama, and it was called the Satellite Hotel, and we stayed there, I think, for 43 days in a row. We couldn't find a place to live, and then God finally came through. You know, wow. it was just an amazing thing. And the house that we got, we ended up staying in for 6 years, same house. But it was just have simple faith in God. And during those times, those days, of course, there was wondering, is this going to really happen? You know, what's going on, God? And I can't say there weren't times when you begin to wonder. You don't begin so much. It's not so much that you wonder about whether God will do what God's going to do, but like, am I really hearing correctly? Yeah. You know, I mean, maybe what if this is not God's plan? Mm-hmm. You know, and I trust God, but do I trust myself in hearing God? There's yeah. another thing. Am I trusting in His voice, and is He speaking to me about doing this? You know, and because for years I thought I was going to be a missionary to Italy. Right, I weigh like 450 pounds right now, you know. I'm overeating spaghetti and pizza, you know. Yeah. So, hallelujah.
Wow, we got some great comments up there today. You know, Stephen wrote a comment to us, and he said, you know, I'm reminded of that song, I Did It My Way,
yeah.
popularized by Frank Sinatra many, many years ago. But that could be the theme song of the world that we live in, right?
Yeah.
That's the unbeliever's theme song, I'll Do It My Way. But God says, no, do it my way. You'll be so much better off. Larry Bean says, it's so easy to be occupied with the horizontal things and to ignore the provision of our eternal God and Savior, who right. is always faithful.
Occupied with the horizontal, really, yeah. really. What's going on horizontally instead of what's going on vertically.
Amen. That's a great thought. Pastor Jabelli, is it safe to say that we read it in the Old Testament, we could come before God and actually say this, make this confession. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
Yes, yeah.
Safe to say that that's a great way to navigate our way through life?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't know what to do at times.
We don't know what to do.
But we're trusting God.
But people don't want to admit that.
Yeah.
See, what do you mean? You don't
right,
know
it sounds weak.
Yeah, well, you don't know what to do? What do you mean? Come on, like, you know, by this time you don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you.
Amen. Zambia tuning in and watching today. And Aretta, who listens regularly, says, trust in the Lord. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will. What a promise. He will direct our paths.
Right.
That's great. I mean, we take so much comfort in that. I remember going in for surgery once, and before they put me out under a general anesthesia, I quoted that verse. I thought to myself, I'm trusting God. I'm not leaning to my own understanding.
Coming out of this.
And apparently when I came out of it in the recovery room, I had an oxygen mask on my face, and the nurses came over as they said, I was saying something. And then they brought my wife in. They said, we can't figure out what he's saying. Maybe you can help us. And apparently, unconsciously, I was quoting Proverbs 3:5-6. And my wife said, oh, he's just quoting a Bible verse. And the nurses looked at each other and they said, he's quoting a Bible verse, but he's not even conscious. I thought to myself, thank you, Lord.
Yep.
You've placed your word even in my unconscious mind. And when the word of God finds its way into both our conscience and our unconscious minds, what a blessing that is. Well, final thoughts, Pastor Jabelli, on learning how to depend upon God.
Well, just trust, simple trust in God, because I know He loves me. I know He's merciful. I know He gives me grace, and I just simply trust in Him. And, you know, just an answer to Jeff Peterson, do you listeners believe people need to get saved in order to not experience His wrath against sin and unbelievers? Well, salvation is of the Lord. Absolutely, get saved. It's an honest question. And then he says, skip my question. It's an honest question. Please answer. Yes, born again. The Bible says in John 3:3-6, in our closing thoughts, you must be born again. And 1 Peter 1:21-23, being born again. born of the Spirit, John 3, 3 through 7. And on you see it, James chapter 1, 17 and 18. There needs to be a conversion. It isn't just that I become a good person or I'm a religious person or I go to church or something like that, but I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that is the only way. That's the only way, receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. So if you haven't done that today, anybody listening, it's very simple. It's just asking Him, come into my life. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I need your mercy. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. I trust in who you are and what you've done, and I receive you into my life. Salvation.
And that's what you brought to Africa all these decades.
Yes.
And that's what we continue to bring to the world, a message of hope through faith in Christ.
Amen.
Well, friends, thanks so much. We've heard from many of you today. We appreciate you tuning in and sharing your comments and asking your questions. Pastor Belli, great to have you back.
Amen.
And friends, we want to encourage you to tune in next week to a brand new week of podcasts right here in the Grace Hour. We hope you have a great weekend, and we hope that wherever you are, there's no more snow coming, at least until you dig out of the last storm. But have a great weekend, friends, and we look forward to being with you next week, live, right here on the Grace Hour.
Amen.